Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's September 26th regular city council meeting. And if you would, please, we're going to have a short invocation, private, and then the Pledge of Allegiance to get our meeting started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. I want to thank you for coming tonight. You guys decided to forego the presidential debate to be here at a special evening for Othello's city government tonight. I'm going to move to item 1.4 on our agenda, which is the roll call. And tonight we have all council members present, except for Angel Garza, who had called me last week and said that he was going to have difficulty making it. He had a couple extra days that he was going to be stuck in Arizona. So he won't be here tonight, so I would entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza from our meeting tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Move to item 1.5, citizen input. This is the segment of the city council meeting where citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council. Is there anyone here present tonight who would like to address the council? Please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the approval of our agenda tonight, item 2. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Sure. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to tonight's current business. Item 4.1. It is my honor to call Debbie Kudernoff forward. I didn't bring the golden watch because you're not retiring. So I do want to read a few words, okay? Debbie has been with the City of Othello government now for 30 years. And so some of my staff had prepared some comments and some a little bit of history about Debbie, so I'm going to read those items right now. Where to begin when describing the accomplishments and appreciating all the work, dedication, and commitment Debbie has given to the community of Othello over the last 30 years? Debbie Kudernoff started her journey at the Othello City Hall in 1986 as an administrative secretary. Within 2 years, she was promoted to deputy city clerk, which then led to her appointment as city clerk by Mayor Ted Muscat in 1992. During her first 3 years as city clerk, Debbie went on to receive her designation as a certified municipal clerk from the International Institute of Municipal Clerks Association in 1995. Since her appointment as city clerk, she has attended almost every council and workshop meeting and prepared the minutes, which are significant historical city records. Some of the duties that Debbie has performed in correlation with being city clerk are accounts payable, utility billing, business licensing, accounts receivable, and teaching many of those skills and processes to new employees. In 2000, Debbie was appointed as civil service secretary examiner and has successfully administered many tests for police officers and dispatchers. Debbie has been a vital instrument in many pivotal moments for Othello. For example, when the City of Othello decided to adopt the Sister City program in 2007 with Walencia Ghana in 2007 and again in 2016. When it came to transferring all data from one computer software company to another in 2009. And when it was time to honor the City of Othello in 2010 for their 100th birthday. Throughout the years, Debbie has proudly served 7 mayors, 36 council members, and 7 city administrators. The mentioned accomplishments, and various hats that Debbie has worked hard at over the years are just a few off the list. Debbie is greatly admired and appreciated by her coworkers for her genuine heart, her willingness to help anyone in need, and her overall persona. Debbie is a huge asset not only to City Hall, but also to the citizens of Othello, who admire and appreciate all her time and hard work. And it is my honor, Debbie, to present this 30 years of service plaque to Debbie Coudernaut in appreciation for dedicated service to the citizens of Othello. Thank you. You're not done. So, Debbie, I'm going to give her the floor to say a few words.
That was long enough. I guess I appreciate, I feel very honored that I've been able to work in the city and have some really good friends here at the city. And I appreciate all the support from the council, the mayors, the past and the present, the administration. We're all working very, very hard. And you can tell by how you're involved in so many things, the meetings after work, the meetings on the weekends. Everybody's working hard in this, for this community. And that's, I've been blessed to work for this community. It's been fun. So thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Moving to item 4.2 on our agenda is electric car charging station. And my understanding was Ian Eccles was going to be here tonight. But he isn't. Travis is going to be here tonight. Go ahead, Travis.
So I prepared a PowerPoint. Should be on. Thank you. An issue was brought to the city staff by Ian Eccles from Avista Energy, and that was the question as to whether or not the city wanted to participate in the creation of an electric car charging station. I spent some time talking with him about potential locations, helping him try and find the perfect site for it. He contacted several businesses, and it didn't seem that any of them either fit their criteria or was interested in it. It is there is a small expense associated with the electrical car charging stations. They would be installed. It takes up two parking spaces, one on each side of the charging station, and then whoever hosts the charging station would pay for the electricity if and when it's used. And so there are still a couple other potential sites that he's looking at, including the potential hotel next to Dell's. And then he's been talking to Waterhole 17, which is also talking about the potential location of a hotel. And so Avista is ideally looking for a place that is high profile, easily accessible, and has the space to accommodate that. Until the opportunity for that arises, they were interested in whether the city would mind hosting one of these at City Hall. As I mentioned, it requires two parking spaces, and they need to be in close proximity to the electrical feed that comes in from Avista. And so what they propose to do is they would not trench, but bore underneath the existing grass and connect up with the City Hall system, and they would tap into the power there. And I have several samples of what it potentially could look like, so this gives you an idea of what we would be talking about. That's a rather large one. This is a little more typical, a smaller station that has a tube coming out of it, or I'm sorry, some wires coming out of it. And so it looks a lot like a gas pump and essentially functions that way. But it requires two parking spaces simply because there are two of those nozzles that come out of it. Ideally, they were looking for something around First and the highways, but the program is designed to create a chain of of these stations so that anyone who owns an electric car can travel anywhere in the state. That's why they were looking at Othello as a great opportunity, since we're at the intersection of several highways, and we can help connect that chain. The program, my understanding, is a $5,000 rebate for the cost of installation, but it requires a 20% match by the host. And so Avista estimates it would cost $1,000 to $1,500 to the city if we wanted to host one here at City Hall. If we are not interested in that, then they will keep looking, and they're hoping they can keep it in Othello, but they're not quite sure. So I guess I'm here tonight just to bring up the issue. If you're interested in us doing more work to explore the costs and actually get an estimate of what it would cost, we can do that. But
Council, you get to make the decision. So do you have any questions?
Well, I'm not really up on the science. Would that be a rapid charge?
Yes.
What it is, okay, dealership, sorry.
Okay.
And I drive these electric cars from time to time. You've probably seen them sitting in my driveway. What it is you can get about plugging into your home, into a regular plug-in, 9 hours, 10-hour charge, you only get about 60% of the vehicle charge. You can plug into one of these for 4 hours, and you get a full charge. Which, depending on the vehicle, 100 miles, whereas you get about 60, 65 at your home on a 10-hour charge.
So where do you, still though, I'm not, you know, in a rural town of Othello, where do you see people utilizing this? I mean, is it going to be a statue sitting in the yard and not being used? I mean,
to be honest, initially I don't.
Because if somebody's traveling through Othello just because we have a charger, you're not going to take an electric car on long-range trips. But
I think that's what the state's trying to encourage, yeah, is that they take the electric cars.
So you're going to travel 100 miles to your limit, sit for 4 hours, and charge your car?
That's what they're trying to encourage.
Tesla's the only one out there right now
that's
with a 200-mile range.
Okay.
The Fords are all out there with 100 mile. The Volt that they're showing right there actually has a gas generator. You could drive that from coast to coast without. Once the battery goes out, then it switches over to a gas that charges the battery from a generator. It's not a gas engine, but it kind of defeats the purpose of $48,000 electric car.
If they're here charging for 4 hours, that's people in town for 4 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and from what it sounds like, this program is meant to put them at commercial stations.
That's
I believe we already passed an ordinance allowing these to be put in.
That's okay.
That's restaurants and shopping, and that gets them here for 4 hours to eat and shop.
Well, them people traveling may not want to be here that long. But I would think that 26 or 17, where the most traveled is, mm-hmm, would be an ideal spot, not here at City Hall.
I think part of Avista's concern is there's this opportunity to get a rebate, and if that expires before either one of the hotels get built, mm-hmm, then that's an opportunity lost. But just because it's an opportunity doesn't mean we have to take it just because it's offered.
There might be government cars that would be, you know, coming to the area that could use it if they're meeting with somebody at City Hall. Because I know the state of Washington's trying to get electric cars and stuff like that on their vehicle lists of vehicles. You know, I don't care. If you guys want to do it just to say we have one, I just don't know how much use it's going to get.
How about like the Best Western uptown?
I believe Ian talked to them. I think part of the problem that Avista is facing in that is there's a mismatch of Avista and Big Bend customers. So I think the problem might be that the Best Western is a Big Bend customer.
That makes sense. Well, counsel, do you want to just have him proceed to get an estimate and see just exactly how much it would cost?
It's not going to hurt to get an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. I think you have a consensus.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Spencer. Or, I mean, excuse me. Thank you, Travis. Item 4.3 is the introduction of environmental consultant RFP contract. And Travis?
So I don't have much prepared on this. I know that I've come to you several times since I've been here asking for various grants. The most recent grant that we were awarded is the Community Development Block Grant for updating our critical areas ordinances and retooling our code. And part of that grant application was a request for some money to pay for a private consultant to do some technical research for us. And we went out for an RFP, and we estimate it's going to be between $5,000 and $10,000. The grant is for $24,000, so it will easily come under budget with what the grant that we are given. But I wanted to give you an update that we have selected a firm out of Pasco with a subcontractor that's out of, I believe, their Issaquah. And so they seem to be up to speed with the Columbia Basin issues associated with wetlands and water rights. And we've looked at their contract. There's a copy of it attached. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It is such a small amount, we don't technically really need to get a contract, except for the fact that we have the grant funds, so it's required of the grant. So today I'm just essentially checking in to make sure that it's okay for me to proceed with those discussions and formulate a contract and some scope of works that I can bring before you in a month or two to get you to approve those.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Next item on our agenda is 4.4, Washington Traffic Safety Commission Emphasis Grant Agreement. Chief?
This is a grant that a fellow receives every year, bringing it in front of council for consideration because it is an agreement. It is a reimbursement grant for overtime expenses, very structured on what it can be used for, whether it's seat belts, DUI enforcement. They've given us like 750 here, 750 there. So I think we've provided that documentation to you, but we ask for your approval.
Council?
You need a motion?
Yes.
I'll make a motion that we approve this.
Second. Okay, we have a motion made and second to approve this Washington Traffic Safety Commission contract. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.5 is the Vulpen Test Hammer Federal Training Center Service Agreement. Chief?
This is one of the things that our insurance and we had identified before our insurance, but most of the officers in our department have not had emergency vehicle training since the academy or, quite a while ago. We sent two officers to be trained this year, learned how to instruct our officers, test them on the driving skills that'll make our insurance happy. But the big thing missing is where we would do the driving in a safe place. This is the Hammer facility up in Tri-Cities out at Hanford. I've driven the course quite a few times. It's challenging, it's good, and it's a good, safe environment. Where we don't have to worry about airplanes landing, we don't have to worry about, light posts and that kind of thing. So this agreement is about $400 a day for the use. We think it'll take a day to 2 days, to run our department through. Our hope would be to partner with other agencies like Adams County, Connell, you name it, as we go through. But this again is another agreement that requires council approval.
Council?
I make a motion to approve the agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. Item 4.6 is call for bids for sewer and irrigation in Columbia Street. Travis?
So I have brought this to you before, if you recognize these slides. We have been working with the various property owners, Garza Enterprises, Olson Homes, and DDM Enterprises. And it seems like we've got all the pieces in place. I did a formal letter today basically outlining what the agreement is. And the Garzas, two of the three Garza property owners have signed the dedication deed. Olson has incorporated these requests into his application material for Sagestone 8, 9, and 10, and those were submitted on Friday. And DDM Enterprises has a copy of the deed, the dedication deed, and they've taken it to their attorney, and it looks like everything's okay. So it looks like this is going to happen. There is one big occurrence since the last time we talked is several of you in several meetings that we've had have been talking about the need to start an industrial system, a purple pipe system. And Wade and Terry, we were having a conversation and we identified 14th Avenue as an opportunity to use some existing pipe as the start of that irrigation system. We talked to Olson Homes and we indicated that we would be willing to supply the pipe and stick it in the ground while we're going down Columbia. We will supply him pipe for his future phases. And at this point, it looks like Terry and Wade came up with a way to get this off of the ground. We've had several conversations with the utility committee if they want to weigh in on it. But essentially, we are almost at the point where the plans are done and we are going to get some quotes and estimates. And then we're going to need to take that out, take at least the irrigation pipe and the sewer line out for bid. So I needed to make sure we had authorization to start going through that process, and we'll keep the utility committee up to speed as we make progress. But again, it's a check-in to make sure we're on the right track.
So everything, Travis, to the east of 14th Avenue, when that eventually all develops, will all utilize this new pipeline that we're proposing to go to bid?
Yes. So the sewer line will be deep enough to cover everything all the way out to Highway 17. The water pipes, of course, are not, they're pressure dependent. And so as long as the network keeps getting extended in a looped manner, the water pressure will be able to extend it to the east as well. And the stormwater, which is primarily for the road stormwater, not for the individual project stormwater, it's conceivable that that would continue to be able to work its way through this system. The pipes are being sized proportionately as if they will be able to drain both the sewer and the storm sewer, everything over to 17 from Main Street South.
Interesting. Council?
So are these going to be stubbed on the other side of 14th?
They are. As a matter of fact, part of CBHA's responsibility will be to bring it up. I think it's about six to 800 feet along Columbia itself as they build their southern driveway. But yes, it will all be stubbed to the east.
Yeah, it's critical infrastructure for the community in the future. Council, you want to go to bid?
Yes.
Yes.
Need a motion?
Make a motion to authorize the staff to proceed with preparation of documents to put necessary utilities in Columbia Street out to bid.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Travis. And then we're going to move to item 4.7, ordinance amending the OMC section 1216 regarding sewer connection fees and creating a sewer latecomers code.
So this was brought to you last month, and John pointed out that there was a section in this code that was very confusing, and he wanted it straightened out. And essentially what we think the solution will be, hopefully it's, I'm not sure it's in here, sorry. It was the question of once you start to get into the industrial size, the larger pipes, there's no clear definition of what the connection cost is, and it goes into this formula that doesn't quite make sense the first reading. And so what staff has identified as the logical solution is to create a 10-inch, a 12-inch, a 16-inch, an 18-inch connection cost, rather than this formula that we're not sure how they arrived at that formula. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get that code change done to this point, but the original code that we're trying to do here is update the sewer and the stormwater latecomers fee code. And so the gentleman who owns the waterhole 17 came in to talk to me about potentially building out there, and he needs to know for budgeting purposes what his latecomer costs are going to be. So I was hoping that we would be able to put off the one question, and since the other ones didn't seem to have any problems at our last meeting, I was hoping we could get the code adopted so that I could get that information to that gentleman.
Council? Let me ask Kelly, are you okay with this?
Yeah. The revised code of Washington allows the city to develop ordinances to require basically latecomer fees. It's not the same thing as a latecomer agreement because you don't have a private developer involved, but that certainly is within the city's authority to do. And we can do that separate from the rate change discussion. We can just simply do two separate amendments to the code. That's okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Okay. To amend the OMC section 1216. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Travis. Item 5 is unfinished business. Council, do you have any unfinished business tonight? Okay, how about new business? Is there any new business tonight? Spencer, you had a item about one of our budget meetings. Do you want to bring that up, please?
Yes.
Our budget, as you know, is a living document and subject to change, and so is the schedule for creating the budget. Our very last meeting is number 8 here, the meeting where we were going to discuss Parks and Rec items in the budget. This meeting was scheduled for the 12th. It's a Wednesday. And I was hoping to move this meeting from the 12th to, I had a few different options here. Up a day, maybe, or maybe on the 14th or the 17th, or the next Monday after. The 12th is difficult because we have a bunch of public works guys away at a train, which is very important. It's very training, but that means that Terry would not be able to attend this meeting and I'm probably not anything. Yeah, so to make sure that we can have Terry and Andy at the first work meeting, we need to move this meeting. Their training is going to be on the 12th and the 13th. So I'm totally open for what we want to do here. It's still a couple of weeks out. If we move it up to the Tuesday, we can have it in conjunction with this meeting here. Councilmember Lodaro is the only overlapping one, so that would be an hour. Then if we did one meeting at 12 and one at 1 o'clock, it'd be an hour, then an hour, so that would be
I personally, since I'm on the Parks and Rec one, I would prefer to keep it the same week. Because as it is, I'm looking to go visit my mother in Oklahoma City. So the next week is probably when I'm going to be doing that.
So if we were to move that to the 14th, that meeting from the 12th to the 14th, the Wednesday to the Friday, we have council members Lawless, Garza, and Darrow on that committee. you still hold it at noon, and go from there if that works.
So we're going to do what again?
We'll take this last meeting here on October 12th for the Parks and Rec meeting. We'll move it from Wednesday the 12th to Friday the 14th.
Okay. At noon.
Also at noon, yeah.
Thank you, Spencer. That's okay.
With that, that brings us up to this week on Wednesday. We're starting on our calendar of events for budget committees. On Wednesday, we'll be meeting to discuss contracts. That's Wednesday night at 6:15. And then most of the other meetings are at noon. We have general government on Friday, and then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for the law enforcement street, water sewer, and solid waste. So keep an eye on the schedule, and I can have, should we have Jennifer maybe give a call the day before, or we can have Jennifer give a call or request the day before, just as a quick FYI reminder. And
that's the schedule.
Good. Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you.
Okay. So, any other new business to come before the council?
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to thank Terry Clemens for dressing up our entryway. A lot of us don't see it. We come in the back door, but went out and took a look at it, and it looks very good. And I've had a few people in town say how nice it is. So, people do notice.
Yep, I noticed, too, and I want to thank you, Terry, as well. Any other new business? Hearing none, we'll move to item 7.1, executive session. We're going to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.1101B to consider the selection of a site or the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase. So with that, I would ask that the council or staff prepare the council chambers. And how long do you suppose, Travis, do we need?
15 minutes.
Okay. 15 minutes.
So.
Okay. It's. We were ready. It's 7:14 p.m. and we're back in session. Moving on to item 8, the council will receive the following: 8.1 department head reports and 8.2 planning commission minutes. And having no further business to come before the council, I will adjourn our meeting tonight at 7:14 p.m. Thank you, council.